Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor Nicole Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor Nicole with the message.
God put something on my heart to preach today, but before I tell you the topic, which it hit on social media. If you're on my social media, you already know what I'm preaching about today. It hit. But before I talk about the topic, I want to talk about kind of how I got there, because I got there a really interesting way. This week, who follows me on social media? Put your hand in the air like you just don't care. All the rest of y'all need to get on board. You're missing good stuff. Because this week, I walked my little happy self in Missouri into a men's medium security prison. Y'all, you know what's funny is the first time I went, I was kind of nervous, but I'm not nervous anymore when I go there, just because you would not believe when you go there, you would think, I need to watch my back. This could go really wrong. It's kind of like the song, y'all know the show Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the others. One of these things just doesn't belong. Right? When I walk in the men's medium security prison, I don't look like everybody else there. So things could go wrong quick, right? But they are so grateful that somebody's thought of them. They're so thankful that somebody's invested time in them. They're so just moved. They come and they thank me, and they're honorable, and they say nice things, not the things that you would think would be said. So since I've been there before, I'm like, okay, I kind of know who the Christians are there, but I want to get the attention of the other people. So I'm going to open with a prison joke. Now, before you open with a prison joke in prison, you want to run that by somebody. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I thought I was good, but I don't want somebody suddenly throwing a shank my direction, okay? So I ran it by the guards, and the guards are like, no, it's funny, they're gonna love it. And I believed them until I was halfway through the joke. And then I wondered, did the guards just set me up? So I thought I would open with that joke today. Is that okay with you? So there's this new guy, and he's going to prison for the first time, right? And he's really nervous. And he's kind of a tiny guy, and he's going for tax evasion. And they put him in a maximum security prison. So as this little dude is walking to his cell for the first time, he finds out that his cellmate is called Sir. And Sir is 6'5" and 320 pounds. So he's walking into his cell, and he goes, hello, Sir. I'm so glad to meet you. I'm your new cellmate. And Sir goes, boy, what'd you do to get in here? And he goes, just some white collar crime, Sir. What did you do? He said, white collar crime? That's what I did, man. We're going to get along great. It's going to be awesome. He said, well, what kind of white collar crime? He's like, well, that's what I want to ask you, man. How many priests did you kill? That's a different kind of white collar crime. And a very brave joke for a preacher to tell. The priest at the moment in there, talking to some guys who had been in there for 10 years for committing murder. And you know, I wanted to get their attention. So as I was in there, because it's a long way, when you go into the prison, there's three buildings. And each of the buildings has this big fenced-in yard, and they only let one of the yards out into the main area at a time, so you don't get, like, a whole prison riot at a time. You just get, like, a third of a prison riot at a time. So they let one-third of the prison out, and they're in the yard with me. The other two-thirds are behind the fences. They're out there working out, half pretty much ignoring me as I start. I tell the joke, and I watch this happen. So they're pausing, and I know the next thing I do has to be good, or I'm going to lose them. Because they're far away. I brought some video. Now, forgive the video that I'm about to show, because you can't video the fences. You can't video the security cameras. You can't video the tops of the fences. There's so many things that we can't show. But will you show just the guys that are there? There's 1,100 of the guys. And here they are walking out, right? They're walking out. They've got their IDs on. Here's one thing I didn't realize first time I went, that the inmates don't wear orange. I always said the only reason I don't kill my husband is because I don't look good in orange. Now you're wondering, where is Pastor David this weekend? he's relaxing this weekend. He's getting geared up for LEAD Conference next weekend. What is LEAD Conference? LEAD Conference is a free leadership conference that we give to everybody who serves on the Dream Team. And then if you're interested in the Dream Team, you're welcome to come too. We've got some guest speakers coming in. It's going to be right here and at the Sunset Hills campus next Saturday. Tell me if you're going to be there. Say me. Okay, so I got all these guys walking in, all these guys behind the fences. I've got a little bit of attention, and so I knew, okay, I need to grab them. So I previewed this on my Wake Pray Slay. If you're part of my Wake Pray Slay, all campuses, raise your hand. If you don't know what Wake Pray Slay is, raise your hand. Okay, Wake Pray Slay is my connect group. My connect group I do online because I'm always different places. So every Thursday morning at 7 a.m. Central, 8 a.m. Eastern, I get on, I share a word of encouragement for about 10 to 15 minutes. I ask for your prayer requests, and then we pray over each of the prayer requests together. And in my prayers, we girdle the globe. So if you're not in a connect group yet, connect group season starts, but I do it 52 weeks out of the year. So get logging on, join my connect group, get in a connect group, and if you're a leader, you should be leading a connect group. Say amen. So Wake Presley already knows this, so don't answer if you know the answer. But who's ever heard of 50 Cent? Say me. Okay, what about Tim Allen? The guy from like Home Improvement and Santa Claus movies. Okay, here's a harder one. Newer music artist, his name is Jelly Roll. Yeah, you've heard of him? Every time I say his name, I get hungry. I promise you, I'm in church, I can't lie, my stomach just growled. Literally just growled. What about T.I. Harris, the rapper? Yeah. What about Mark Wahlberg, the actor, Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch back in the day? Okay, so all of these people, all of these accolades, besides being male, what's one thing they have in common? They've all been to prison. They've all had a judge come find them in a courtroom. They've all heard their stories. They've all hoped to get out of it. They all hired the best attorney they could find or afford, and they all heard these words. Guilty! That's a scary sound, right? All of these people who are highly successful have been found guilty and served time in prison. The topic of my message today is how many of us feel guilty? And we tote around a feeling of guilt our entire lives. And we think the things that we have done or what's happened to us in our past will keep us from accomplishing anything good in our lives. And I know about guilt. I only know about certain kinds of guilt. I'm a mom, and I'm here to tell you, mom guilt is real, right? I'm a wife. Wife guilt is real. I don't know if you're a dad, if you're a husband, but who knows about like parent guilt, say me. Spouse guilt, say me, right? So I have friend guilt. I have work guilt. I have family guilt. When I'm at work, I feel guilty that I'm not paying attention to my family. When I'm with my family, I feel guilty because I didn't get all of my work done. When I go to a party and I'm trying to like watch my weight, I have cake guilt. Cake guilt is real because you make a decision before you go that you're not going to eat the cake. You get there, and they try and give you a piece of birthday cake, and you feel guilty as you're like, no, I'm sorry, I'm not having that right now. And they're like, no, everybody is having a piece. And you feel so guilty, you take a piece of cake. But then you ask for a small piece of cake because you're really trying to be good, and they give you a small piece of cake, and somebody else comes up to you and goes, that's not a piece of cake. You need a piece of cake. What are you trying to be around here? It's my birthday. So you feel guilty for the small piece of cake, so you trade it in for a bigger piece of cake. You get the bigger piece of cake. It's in front of you. Therefore, you start eating it. Once you start eating it, you can't stop eating it. And you're eating the cake, and you eat the whole cake, and then you feel guilty because you ate the cake. Cake guilt is real. If you've ever had cake guilt, just say amen. Amen. Right? We feel guilty about letting people down. We feel guilty about
unforgiveness. We feel guilty about the things we've done in our past that we don't know how to fix. And we let them chain us down. You know what? Not the other things those other guys have in common. They all believe in God. You know, Mark Wahlberg gets up every morning at 2 a.m. and he works out and he prays. Tim Allen, he is so vocal with his faith. He's like, oh, I love God. I'm here because of God. Jelly Roll, his songs are all about faith. I need a favor. I'm a sinner. He talks about his faith. 50 Cent, he said, you could better believe I believe in God. He said, I wasn't shot 9 times and survived if there wasn't a purpose on my life. I'm here to tell you the depths of what you have done wrong do not determine how low you have to be. No, that's how far the enemy has pulled you back. For when God is ready to release you and let you go, you can only go that much further. Today we're getting rid of guilt. Today we're putting the enemy in his place. Today we're going to remember the purpose that's on the inside of our heart. There's a divine purpose. There's a divine calling. And the calling of God on you, it has not changed. For God's calling is irrevocable. And I'm looking at you right in the eye today to tell you God remembers you. He's heard you. He saw you count yourself out, and he's here to count you back in and put you back in the fight. Somebody give God a good shout of praise at all campuses. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else saw Mike Chandler just punk Conor McGregor on social media. Y'all know the UFC fighter Conor McGregor? Y'all know Michael Chandler went to our church, right? He's a St. Louis guy. And I just interviewed him for the TV show a couple of weeks ago. And we were just talking about, you know, when are you going to fight? And he's like, Conor won't answer. Conor won't answer. And Conor wouldn't answer. So Mike Chandler went up and picked up another fight. I know Mike feels guilty about not fighting Conor, but he can't put his whole profession and his career on hold waiting for some guy to say yes. And you might feel guilty in your profession because you had to step up because somebody else wasn't stepping up. But don't let what they're not doing keep you from doing what you're called to do. You go ahead and step up. You go ahead and take that leadership role. You go ahead and do that work. You go ahead and step up at church. You go ahead and start leading that department. God needs you to take your place. So what about this time that we've been spending feeling guilty? Well, there's a scripture I want you to write down. It's called Ephesians 5:16. And for all the days you feel like you have wasted, that verse says, from God, I will redeem the time, for the days are evil. You know, Romans 8:28, it says, God works all things together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus. He will use what we have done wrong. He will use our guilt. He will use our stalled time. When I was in prison last week, Greg Crane, Pastor Greg Crane from the Sunset Hills campus, man, go ahead and give Greg a hand clap. He is a dream team pastor. And he came to the prison with me, and he met somebody. And here's the kinds of things that God can do with the time that we have wasted. Watch this.
We're in the prison ministry, and Greg's got a testimony. Tell us, Greg.
So I met one of the inmates here named Tommy, and he's telling me how God had changed his life and how 4 years ago when he got here to this facility, it was a wreck. He was a drug addict. He was a drunk. But over the next 4 years, he was able to find God. But he said the thing that really blew his mind was he had no relationship with his dad. And when he got here to this prison, his cellmate was his dad. And for the next 2 years, they got to spend time together. They're best of friends now. His dad is out doing well, and now they have a relationship.
Oh my gosh, come on. What we're doing makes a difference.
Is that unbelievable? He had to go to prison to meet his dad. They became best friends by spending 2 years together in an 8x8. God can redeem the time. You know, I met another guy while I was there, and he was telling me a story. And I said, you know, I was trying to give hope to him, so I don't come up and, you know, what you in for, man? You know, I come up and I say, hey, where's home at? When do you get to go home? Tell me your story. And I met one guy, and he said, I said, where's home at? He said, doesn't matter. And I said, well, tell me about that. He said, I'm supposed to be here. And I said, well, tell me about that. He said, well, the road I was on was a really bad road. And he said, I knew it would lead two places, death or prison. He said, I got the good one. He said, I got the good one, and I've been here for 10 years, and I've finally been clean for 10 years. He's like, I needed to be here. I'm thankful to be here. My life has been changed because I have been here. And there's a chaplain there. And when I put it on social media, I asked people, how many of people would like to go to prison with me next time? And all kinds of people are like, I want to go, I want to go. And I said, don't you know we go every Friday in Missouri? We've got a connect group that goes here. That's why you guys got to check out the connect groups. We have connect groups that do everything. And Dr. Etook takes people into that men's prison every Friday, discipling these guys. And you're making differences in people's lives like that. Faith Church, you are not what happens inside of these four walls. This is just the springboard of everything that we do. And I'm just so thankful that there are so many of you that are in those connect groups and changing lives, getting built up so that you can pour out. Because I believe that there is a lot on the inside of you. And I don't want you to feel guilty for the time that you haven't been, but I want you to get encouraged and go ahead and dive into all of this because I believe God has more for you. Do you believe it too? I do. So today I just want to share four things in our last 15 minutes together. Can I just share four things? What do we do with guilt? Right? Because I walk around guilty, oh gosh, probably 80% of the time. 80% of the time I feel guilty about something. My husband's talking to me and I don't realize I'm on my phone until he tells me, can you put your phone down? Guilty, right? Just guilty all the time. So what do we do with guilt? Number one. It's three little words, and they're not, I love you. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. I want you to say it with me. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. You know, people know the verse John 3:16. I think every preacher is like born knowing the verse John 3:16, except for somebody put me on the spot one time. And actually, when I do my mic checks and with the TV show and stuff, they say, you know, check your mic. Most people are like 1, 2, 3, 4, you know, mic check. I always say John 3:16. I know John 3:16, except for the moment when they put me on the spot, like on live TV, they're like, Pastor Nicole, tell us John 3:16. I'm like, everybody knows that verse. I mean, gosh, we don't even have to quote it right now. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm blanking. But most of us know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that who shall ever, you guys know the rest. So John 3:17. We know John 3:16, but we don't know John 3:17. And John 3:17 comes right after that, right? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. And then, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved. God did not come to wave a gavel in your face and try and make you feel guilty. You screwed up. You screwed up with your kids. You screwed up with your spouse. You screwed up on the job. Everybody knows you're a cheat. Everybody knows you're a crook. Here's me. I'm God, and I can't wait for you to come to heaven so I can hit you in the head with this hammer. I'm just going to beat you over the head. Don't you know how bad you are? Matter of fact, I sent Jesus to tell you. Oh, not how bad you are. I sent Jesus to die and cover every single one of those things that you did. You know, I think some people don't like God because they're afraid that God is so judgy. Therefore, they don't engage in God. But isn't it funny? They're judging God for being judgy, so they don't go to God to get to know God, to find out God isn't judgy like that. God is judgy like... you screwed up so bad. This is gonna hurt my heart. But I'm gonna send my son and I'm gonna watch him die to cover you. That's how God is judgy. And I mean, it takes repentance. We have to have Christ in our heart. I'll tell you about that in a second. And we have to have repentance. We have to come to him and say, okay, God, here's the deal. I screwed up, and I'm going to need you to cover me, right? We have to confess our sins to him. And one of the guys that I met in prison, I didn't get a picture of him. Hopefully our video team did. His name was Cole. I remember his name because my name is Nicole, and his name is Cole. And Cole, when I met him, he said, I'm in prison for murder. Been here 10 years. Started talking to him about Jesus. Got him saved. And then got him baptized. And we asked him how many guys said they wanted to get baptized before we got there, and they said one. We ended up baptizing 34 inmates that day. Sorry. When Cole came up out of the water, he said, I am so sorry for what I have done for that family. And I cannot wait to get out and try and make it up to them, because I can never bring their family member back. I took that from them, but I want to make it right. I want to do right by them. He said, I just want to make it up to them so bad. He's carrying so much guilt, y'all. And we have to work with Cole, because if we carry that much guilt, his repentance is right, his heart is right, but the guilt is going to crush him, right? And will lead him down a bad road. So we have to learn, okay, God, thank you for correcting me, for convicting me, for getting me on the right road. Now we have to trust God with the guilt and the things that we cannot change. We are not defined by our past. We are prepared by our past for the future that God has for us. We have to admit it, quit it, and forget it. Point number two, we got to learn that there are spiritual laws that govern supernatural verdicts. What does that mean? Well, there's a scripture in Romans 8:1-2. It says, there is therefore. And there's a little preacher joke that says, anytime you see therefore in the Bible, you got to find out what is therefore. So this is obviously important. There is therefore. What is that therefore? And the next word is now. Now, here's the thing about the word now. Like, I just can't read the Bible fast, because, like, if I'm trying to read the Bible in a year, I'm going to miss so much because I get hooked on every single word. And here's the thing about now. When is now? Now. Wait. Okay, so that was 3 seconds ago. Now when is now? Now? Oh, okay. Well, if I ask you in 15 minutes when is now, what will you answer?
Now.
Here's the thing about now. Now is always. No matter when you are, now is now. So if you read this verse 15 years ago, if you read this verse 5 minutes ago, if you read this verse right now, or if you read this verse 19 years in the future, when is it going to be now?
Now.
Okay. So no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter when it is, no matter where you are, there is, therefore, now, no condemnation.
Well, there's a little bit of condemnation because, you know, what you did was kind of wrong, so you need to, like, punish yourself some.
No, how much condemnation is there?
No.
There's none. When is there no condemnation?
Now.
There is now no condemnation to who? To those who are in Christ Jesus.
I don't know how to get in Christ Jesus. I don't know how to do that. Somebody tell me. Oh, my gosh, I probably haven't done it right. I'm probably wrong. I'm probably going to hell. What am I going to do?
Don't freak out. We got you. The prayer that we pray here at Faith Church every service, where we say that we're going to make Jesus Lord of our life, that we are a sinner and we're putting Jesus in the driver's seat. Once you pray that prayer with your heart and you mean it, once you put God in control of your life, you are now in Christ Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are in Christ Jesus. And if you're not, before we close today, we're going to pray that prayer again and we're going to change it. You know what? Let's just do it right now. Can we pause everything?
Yes.
Okay. I just want everybody to say, dear God,
dear
I'm making a quality decision right now to put you in charge of my life because I've screwed it up and it's gonna take you to fix it. Jesus died for me and I will live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. My friend, you are in Christ Jesus. You just made heaven your home after this earth. How do you get saved? The blood of the Lamb, that's Jesus, and the word of our testimony, that's this. Now you're supposed to tell somebody. So there's a gold card in the seat in front of you. Grab one of those gold cards, fill it out. When the offering collection plate goes by, put it in there. We want to call you and pray for you, give you next steps. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Don't let that line trip you up. So the original Bible, this is going to shock you, wasn't written in English. I know, right? Freaks me out sometimes. It was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. And in the original language, that line did not exist. So when you do translation, it doesn't translate word for word. Because yesterday I was talking to a guy who is from Venezuela, and he said, do you want sugar with your coffee? And I said, I'm already sweet enough. Then I said, hey, if I'm going to preach that in Spanish, that doesn't work, does it? And he's like, no, azúcar, different than sweet, different than the kind of sweet that a person is. He's like, it doesn't work. So it doesn't work all the time when the way they translate the Bible. So they try to like add words to help us understand how to make it work. So don't be confused or think you get disqualified because you made Jesus Lord of your life and then you got angry. Or you made Jesus Lord of your life and then you cheated on a test, cheated on a taxes, cheated in your relationship. Did I just get too real? Don't let that throw you off. Jesus knew you were gonna do that before you were born. So he died to save you from a sin that you didn't know you were gonna commit, but he knew you were gonna commit, and he knew you were gonna commit it when he created you, and he created you anyway. So don't let that throw you off. When you sin, repent. Tell Jesus, I am sorry. Repent literally means, translated, repent means turn 180 degrees and go the other way, right? So don't get all freaked out about that. But I want you to hear these two laws. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So it's a law. Everybody say, it's a law.
It's a law.
Tell your neighbor, don't break the law. So the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's also a spirit. This law has a spirit attached to it. Now, here's two things about that word. Some spirits have a little s because it is a spirit. Like a spirit of fear is little s. It's from the enemy. But this spirit, is that a lowercase s or is that a capital S, all campuses?
Capital S.
That means it's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So there is a law of sin and death. There's two laws. There's a law of sin and death. What is that? That is the law that comes from hell that is trying to get you into hell because the devil cannot go to heaven. And since he can't go, he doesn't want you to go. So he is trying to drag you down. And we are all sinners and we all end up in hell without Jesus. So we need Jesus. So there is this law of sin and death that you can't break. It's a law. But the devil can't arm wrestle Jesus and win on any day. And so that little less spirit, right, that little less law of sin and death cannot arm wrestle the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That life is in you. That law of Spirit of life supersedes the law of sin and death. Yo, that's why we got to get everybody saved. Amen?
Amen.
And then I want to talk about one more word. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Because the word in the English and then English in our legal system, right? Conviction is a bad thing. You got convicted. Oh no, I got convicted of guilty. It means it different in the Bible. In the Bible, condemnation is a bad thing. Condemnation is guilt. Condemnation is punishment. Condemnation is what the enemy will heap up on you, like he was doing that guy Cole in the prison, right? Putting up on him, putting up on him, putting up on him, till he was crushed and small and thought he was a worm. Conviction in God in the Bible. Conviction is awareness. Conviction is that little thing that will scratch your belly and go, ooh, I probably should stop talking about that person right now. Like, I have this thing, but ooh, this tea is too juicy. I just gotta tell the tea, God, and then I'm gonna stop, okay? I'm gonna stop. And as you're telling all the tea, you feel like, and you're like, oh, what is that? That's the conviction of God. He's telling you, shut your pie hole. You are gonna regret this, right? That conviction is awareness. He's making us aware that this isn't any good. That awareness brings growth so we can grow and keep our mouth shut next time. That growth brings change so we start changing from the old man who we used to be to this new creature that we're really excited that is emerging. And that new creature brings a transformation. And that's why a year from now we don't recognize ourselves, because the transformation of what God has done on the inside of us is just so great and so amazing. How many of you have had your lives transformed by Jesus? Say amen. And we need that transformation so we can share it with people. So I brought a picture and a video of another guy. These two guys, both of them's names are Austin. One of them is in a wheelchair. He has cerebral palsy. That's not the guy we're talking about right now. That's me in my Wake Pray Slay shirt right there. The other guy with the circle around his face, leave that picture up for a minute. His name is Austin too. Now this was Wednesday of last week, so my math is gonna be a little different. But he's been in prison for 10 years. He killed somebody. He's sorry about it. He's getting out as of Wednesday. He had 11 days left to serve till he went home. We gotta have him ready to go. We can't leave him like he is. We need to bring him hope. We need to give him a sure foundation to stand on. So I stood there with Austin, and I told him about Jesus, and I prayed the prayer of salvation with him. You see, only a third of the jail was out when we prayed that prayer the first time and started baptizing people. And when I asked the prison, like, I told the guys, I'm like, look, you're gonna have to forgive me. I don't know prison etiquette. Like, I don't live here. Y'all gotta teach me this stuff. But if you wanna get baptized today, if it's okay, if it's cool to do this in front of your friends, would you raise your hand to get baptized? And you don't have to raise your hand. You can just come up here. Y'all, I did not expect them to be raising their hands. And the guys that were all the way across the prison yard, it's like the front wall to the back wall at Earth City or Sunset Hills, it's a long way, all the way out there. There are guys behind the fences going, me, I wanna get baptized. This whole group of guys, all these guys right here got baptized. They were all behind the fence. The warden had to come to me and said, can you guys stay a little longer? Because we're going to have to go to the other houses and bring some other guys up to get baptized. I said, you better believe it. I got all day. We're going to cancel every meeting. Austin got saved. Austin got baptized. And Austin's going home next week with Jesus in his heart, knowing who he is, knowing that he can succeed like 50 Cent or Tim Allen or you. And I had to tell him about the change of venue. Because, right, they know about the court system. And they know about, well, you don't want to get tried here under this judge, or because these people know you a certain way, so you need a change of venue. And that's what we get when we're a Christian. We get a change of venue or a change of citizenship. Y'all, I was born in Canada, but I have a United States passport. I had a change in citizenship. Well, how did you get that? Well, I got myself adopted when I was 3 years old. I was from Canada, adopted in the U.S. when I was 3. And when I got adopted, P.S., you have been adopted into the family of God, that you're no longer just a child. You're no longer a sinner, but you are a son. And if a son, then an heir. And then if an heir, then a joint heir with Jesus. You're a joint heir with Jesus. It's Jesus and you right next to each other in God's mind, right? You have been adopted by your Father God. You're no longer, I don't know my daddy, I don't know my mommy, they didn't want me. No. You are so wanted. He adopted you and he put his name on you. And that changed my passport. That changed my birth certificate. I have a U.S. birth certificate that was issued 3 years later. My birthplace is Toronto, Canada. When I tried to get a passport after 9/11, I was a problem. But that's you. You've had a change of citizenship. And so the laws that you live by are no longer the laws of this world, but they are the laws of heaven. And the laws of heaven supersede the laws of this world. Is this helping you today? If this is helping you, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm going to do two more minutes, and then we're going to get done. Law number three, rule, or point number three. God often picks the least qualified to the world's standards. But in his hands, we are not only qualified, we're redeemed. You know, a lot of us wrestle with a feeling of not being qualified. We hurt, we ache, we make every reason in the world why God can't pick us. And I want to let you know that God is in the business of helping broken people. So when I was in the prison, there was a guy who told me, God can't use me. I get out like in a couple of months. I said, where are you from? Where's home? St. Charles. I'm so excited. We got a church by there. And he said, well, you know, I don't know if people will be comfortable with me coming to your church. I said, oh, no. I want you at our church. I said, actually, I want you to serve on our security team. And he goes, what? He goes, you want me to serve on your security team? I said, absolutely. He's like, why would you say that? And I said, well, in prison, you've had to learn how to watch your back, right? He goes, yeah. I said, well, the purpose of the security team is to watch our back, and I know you know how to do that. I would be so comfortable with you watching my back because I know you could get the job done. And Ryan said, you know what? I'm going to come to your church, and I want to be on your security team, and I'm going to serve there. And I'm like, that's right, Ryan, and I'm going to have you next to me, and I'm going to tell everybody where you came from and what God's doing for you. He said, but I'm a broken person. I said, yeah. Me too. We're all broken people. God loves using broken people. That's what he did with Moses, right? Moses was a murderer, just like every guy that was in there. Half of them didn't do stuff half that bad. And God picked Moses to lead his entire nation. Moses was a stutterer. He was trying to tell God in Exodus 4, God, you can't use me. I'm a murderer. And I can't. He would get frustrated with himself. He would feel guilty. And you know how God answered him? He said, I know. I created your mouth. What's the other reason you're going to tell God that he can't use you? God knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly where you've been, and he knows. He knows what you've done, and he knows when you've done it. And it didn't stop him from creating you. He wants you. He died for you, and he needs you. He needs you to believe in you like he believes in you and step up like he wants you to step up and lead in his kingdom, lead in his church, lead in the community. Serve his kingdom for his greater glory. His kingdom is not complete without you. That brings me to my last point. Your call is still valid. Nothing you have done has gotten rid of the call that was on your life. My last story isn't about a guy that was in prison in Missouri. It's a guy that was in prison overseas. His name's Paul. Paul's name used to be Saul. Saul was a serial murderer. He made it a habit of killing Christians until one day Jesus met him on a road. And it wasn't Jesus in the flesh. It was the Spirit of God knocked him off his horse and knocked him blind for 3 days to get his attention. Saul had to change his name because he thought people would be so scared of him, and he became Paul. Paul preached all over the world the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very one he killed in the name of. He was killed for the name of Jesus Christ. And God honored him so much, he was the author of 2/3 of the New Testament. What you have done has not shocked God. God doesn't want you walking around in condemnation. He wants you walking around strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to trust him with your guilt so he can give you his glory, to trust him with your failings so he can give you success, to trust him with your past so he can give you your future, because he has miracle after miracle after miracle for you. I believe he came here to open another door for you. This is 2024. It is the year of the open door. But God said, I've got the door open. I've got it here. It's been open. It's sitting open. We're like, God, we need you to move. God's like, I have moved. I have prepared the way. It's sitting there. It's waiting for you. I need you to get up and take your place. I need you to get up and walk through. I need you to walk by faith and not by sight. I need you to walk like I'm God and not like you're down. I need you to walk like you believe in me and not like you believe what the enemy has told you. It is time to step into our future. Do you believe that there is a year of open door for you in 24? Faith Church, give God a shout of praise. And I want to pray for you before I go. If you walked in here carrying some guilt with you and you're ready to let it go, all campuses, would you raise your hand so I know who I'm praying with? Father God, the enemy uses this same trick on all of us. He tries to push us down because you're trying to pull us up. We stop looking at what's behind us and living life in the little small rearview mirror. And we start fixing our eyes upon Jesus, looking unto the hills from which cometh our help, looking unto the author and the finisher of our faith. Because you're not done with us yet. This is not the end of our story. It might be the end of a chapter, but it's the beginning of a better one. We step out of an old season and into a new season. And God, those doors you've been holding open, we are walking through. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of Faith Church said, amen and amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Was that all right for today?